Good evening.
Good evening.
If you have your Bibles, you can turn them to Matthew chapter 6. We'll be in Matthew chapter 6 here in just a couple minutes. If you were to take a running count of the sermon topics that have been preached from this pulpit, not just my own, but all of the sermons that have been preached here, I would hope that you would find some common themes. I hope that you would find that the core foundations of our faith and hope and love. I hope that you would find grace, the gospel, the cross of Jesus, the hope of eternity with God. But my guess is that you would also find a lot of sermons on unity, on oneness, on togetherness, on cooperation. And some of those sermons would be better than others, but all of those sermons would be equally important. And tonight, I want us to talk for just a little bit more about unity. The truth is, there are a lot of reasons for us to talk about unity. One of them is that in our history as a church, we've not always known unity here. Not all of you were a part of this family. I wasn't a part of this family, but there was a time where we knew the pain that came from disunity, from not being joined together in a common purpose, joined together with the bond of peace. Most of those wounds have healed over the years, but it's still an important part of our history. I keep a timeline in my office of important events of our congregation's history dating back to the very beginning, stories that I've picked up from stories that you've shared. And some of the most important moments of our life as a congregation came from that season. And it's not something we ever want to experience again. We are better because we have come through it. But it's not something we want to go back to. We also talk about unity because it's in the Bible, and it's in the Bible a lot. There are passages like 1 Peter 3 that tells us, finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy and brotherly love, a tender heart and a humble mind. Jesus says in John 17, may they, I and them and you and me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you loved me. And Paul says in Philippians 2, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. And Paul says again in Ephesians 4, be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And there are countless other passages all throughout Scripture where we are urged to maintain and pursue and keep unity together. And we also talk about unity because unity means strength for us. There's an old story, an old parable about a man who lays dying in his bed. He's an old man with four sons, and his four sons can never get along together. They spend their entire lives fighting and bickering and butting their heads together, and they can never come together as a family. They're always picking at each other, always fighting. And in this man's last few moments, he wants to teach his sons a lesson. And so he calls all four of them to come to his bed, and he gives them a bundle of sticks, and he asks them a question. He says, can you break these sticks? And so the oldest son, being the biggest, the strongest, the one who feels like he should be in charge, takes the bundle of sticks and he begins to bend them with all of his might, trying to break this bundle. And his brow gets filled with sweat, and sweat is dripping down his back. His muscles are flexing, but nothing happens. He can't break the sticks. The second son, seeing his opportunity to show up his older brother, takes the bundle of sticks from him, and he begins to break it over his knee, except it only bounces off and leaves a bruise. And he begins to try again and again to break that bundle of sticks, and nothing happens. The third son, seeing his chance to leapfrog his older two brothers, decides to try to break the sticks himself. He tries, and he tries, and he tries, and nothing happens. Well, the youngest brother is the most clever of the bunch, and he's laughing at his older brothers as he sees them exert all of this strength trying to break this bundle of sticks. And so when it finally his turn to try, he takes the sticks. He pulls out one by one without exerting any effort at all, was able to snap these dry sticks. And he pulls another out, and he snaps the stick, until eventually all of the sticks are broken. The father, seeing what's happened, smiles at his sons, and he says, "Do you understand now? When the sticks were bundled together, they were too strong for you to break. But when you separate them, you take them one by one, the sticks are easily broken. When you come together in unity," the father says to his four sons, "there is strength in that unity. Together, nothing can break you. But when you are separated, you are easily broken." The four sons took their father's wisdom, and they ceased their fighting. And they learned in that moment with their father that unity is strength. There's one author that says unity is strength. When there's teamwork and collaboration, wonderful things can be achieved. Or the author of Ecclesiastes might say, "Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves, and a cord of three strands is not quickly broken." And this morning we talked about what brokenness means for us. That it means the treasure of the gospel can spread to more and more and more people. And that this valley is desperately in need of the good news that God has given us. To see the gospel spread to more and more people. For more and more people to taste that treasure is an incredible task. It's a task that is bigger than any one of us ourselves. It's something that we could never do on our own. Jesus in Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount, says it like this. He tells his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden." Jesus calls his followers to influence their community, to influence the lives of those around them. But Jesus says you can't do it on your own. Jesus doesn't say that a person on a hill cannot be hidden. He says a city on a hill cannot be hidden. Imagine for a second being in ancient Jerusalem, gathering together with your family every night around the campfire, or lighting the candles in your house, or lighting the stove. The fire, the light, the warmth from that small flame wouldn't do a whole lot to affect the city. It wouldn't extend much further than your own family. But then imagine being several miles away from that city, full of thousands of families, each gathered around their own fires, with their own stoves, with their own lamps. And all of a sudden, each of those individual fires, each of those individual lamps, becomes on the hillside a blazing city of light. Jesus tells us that we shine brighter when we shine together. I want us to read in Matthew chapter 6. If we had time, we would read the entire Sermon on the Mount and pull all kinds of bits from it, but we're just going to read a few verses in Matthew 6. I want us to pull a few things out of it about this idea that unity, that strength comes from unity. So Jesus says in verse 9, "Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." The first thing that we learn about unity from this prayer Jesus taught his followers is that we are united against the evil one. We can never let ourselves forget that we are in a real spiritual battle, that there are real forces of evil, that we have a real enemy in this world. I find myself getting caught up in hero movies a lot, wishing that I could be like them, wishing that I had some quantifiable enemy to rally against, wishing that there was some cause I could lay my life down like the heroes do in the stories. But then I have to remind myself that I do. That I am living in that kind of an environment, because we are living in a world that's full of spiritual warfare. And we always have to remember that there is a real enemy. And we have to remember who that enemy is. One of Satan's most effective tactics is to distract us. To distract us from the real battle. We see it in our personal lives. We see it in politics. We see it in pop culture. And we also see it in churches. Satan distracting us from fighting him. But Jesus teaches us that when we are united against the evil one. He also tells us that we are united through prayer and forgiveness. Forgiveness is one of the key aspects of unity. It begins with God's forgiveness of us, that God was willing to lay down his life so that we wouldn't have to pay this penalty for our sins, that God was willing to wipe away every mistake that we have ever made so that we can stand pure and clean in his presence. But it also means that we have to embrace that forgiveness ourselves, that we have to forgive ourselves of the mistakes that we've made. Too often we beat ourselves up about things we did years and years ago. We beat ourselves up because we don't feel like we measure up to the standard of everyone around us. But if God can separate our sin as far as the east is from the west, as the psalmist tells us, then we have to be able to forgive ourselves. And when we embrace the forgiveness that God gives us, when we learn to forgive ourselves, it also means that we have to forgive each other. Because the reality of a group of people like the church is that we are a group of sinful people that have been brought together. And anytime you have two or more sinful people together, people are going to be hurt. I've only been married for a little while, but it didn't take long to realize that when two people are trying to live together in unity, two sinful people, there will be hurt. And the reality of being a part of a church is that people are going to hurt you. Someone is going to say or do something that is just boneheaded and stupid. But we have to forgive them. Because one day, we're going to be on the other side of it. One day, we'll say that boneheaded, stupid thing. We will hurt someone. Forgiveness stands at the center of unity. Not just our own forgiveness, forgiving other people, but God forgiving us and us forgiving ourselves. And when we live in that kind of forgiveness, it enables us to pray together, to go to God on behalf of those we love, to stand in God's presence before his throne of grace and lay ourselves down at his feet, united together in unity. And Jesus teaches us that we are united for the kingdom of God. People call this prayer a lot of different things. A lot of people call it the Lord's Prayer. Some people say that it should be called the model prayer or the example prayer because it's where Jesus teaches us how to pray. I would like to make the suggestion that maybe we should call this prayer the kingdom prayer. Because this prayer propels us into a life that is poured out for the kingdom of God. Later on in the same sermon, Jesus teaches us to strive first, before everything else, for the kingdom of God. He's not saying that we should just try to go to heaven when we die, but we should live our lives in a way that we can bring a bit of heaven into our world, into our lives. May your kingdom come. May your will be done, Jesus teaches us. On earth, just as it is in heaven. Whatever it takes. Whatever it costs, no matter the sacrifices, we unite around this passion to see the kingdom of God come. For there is strength in our unity. There's a short film called The Tree. It's only a few minutes long, but it takes place in the crowded streets of India. There's a traffic jam going on. People are honking their horns at one another. They're yelling at each other. They're at each other's throat. When the problem is revealed to be a tree that has fallen down in the middle of this crowded street. And while everyone else is bickering and yelling and fighting and honking their horns, there's a small little child who sees the problem and decides to do something about it. He can't weigh more than just a few pounds. And he begins to push with all of his might on this massive, incredibly huge tree, significantly bigger than he is himself. There's no chance at all of this kid moving that tree, and yet he's there by himself, pushing and pushing. When all of a sudden, these group of a few other kids see him pushing at this tree, and they come over to him laughing and giggling, and they begin to push as well. And though there's a few more people, there's no way they're able to move this tree. When all of a sudden, some people who are there pick up on what's happening, and this crowd of people surrounds this tree. They gather and put all of their effort and their energy into moving this tree, and they push and they strain and they exert their muscles until eventually enough people gather that they are able to pick this tree up and move it out of the way. They're able to accomplish their mission, their purpose, because unity is strength. And when we are united as God's people against the evil one, when we are united through prayer and forgiveness, and when we are united for the kingdom of God, God accomplishes through us and in us and among us more than we could ever accomplish on our own. We shine brighter when we shine together. And God works through us more than we could ever ask or imagine when we are united together. Because unity means for us strength. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, as we often say, for the chance to gather here together. And Father, we thank you for everything it took for us to be here tonight. That you were willing to lay down your life so that we could be with you. But not only that we could be with you, that we could be with each other. And Father, we ask that you would help us to take the commitment we made to you and the commitment we made to each other seriously. May we find, as we live our lives together under your grace, through your forgiveness, the incredible strength that comes when we stand together. Father, we ask your forgiveness for those times where we allow our selfish ambitions to take first place over your kingdom, over your people. And Father, we pray that as we move forward every day, that you would allow us to experience the grace that is unity more and more every day, that you would allow us to maintain the peace that you have given us by your Son and by your love. And Father, we pray above all that as we are united together, that you would use us to spread your good news, to spread your grace to this valley. Father, this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. We know that there are some of us here tonight who stand in that place of needing forgiveness. We stand in that place of needing to hear good news in the midst of our brokenness. Part of being a family together is praying together. And if you need prayer tonight, we want to pray with you. If you have gotten off track and you want to come back, if you want to be a part of what God is doing through his people, then come back tonight. Let us pray for you. Let us help you. Or if you're here tonight and you've never put on Jesus, if you've never entered this family we've been talking about, and you want to do that tonight, if you're just willing to confess Jesus as Lord, to turn from your old life and walk in a new life, you can be baptized so that you can be a part of God's people. If that's where you are, if that's what you need tonight, let us know how we can help by coming forward as we all stand and as we worship.